True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
If you're ever going through a rough stretch in life, just get in a batting cage with Steven Matz or Sean Newcomb. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today on a Tuesday, August 10th. Frank Stanfill alongside Scott White and Chris Towers. And guys, just like that, Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto have big nights. They're batting over 300 while Juan Soto goes 3-for-4 with a double and a homer. No lineup protection, no problem for Soto. The kid is a stud, and I would assume playing against Steven Matz and Sean Newcomb had something to do with it.
I mean, JT Realmuto, hasn't he owned like four straight days?
Oh, yeah, he's in fuego.
He's been absolutely red hot. And Bryce Harper's been having an awesome season all year. We really haven't had much reason to talk about them at all because
they're just good.
Frankly, we haven't really talked about hitters at all because closers have taken up all of our time. But yeah, those two guys have been awesome. No concerns there.
Yeah, I'm going to try and hit on a few more hitters today. Some leftovers from the weekend, some trade targets to talk about as well. And then we'll give you some updates on some West Coast games because we're, of course, recording this the night before on Monday night. And Lance McCullers just had a no-hitter broken up. And Dustin May is pitching pretty well. So we'll update you on those a little bit later on. But let's get things started, guys.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You know, I mentioned going up against Steven Matz and specifically, what Asdrubal Cabrera did on Monday night was otherworldly. 4-for-4, two homers, two doubles, five RBI, three runs scored, and a walk. And Chris, thank you for pointing this out to me before we started, but apparently since last year's All-Star break, Asdrubal Cabrera has just been ridiculous. Since then, he is batting .306 with 57 RBI, including tonight. And that's in like 66 games. So yeah. I'm not saying Asdrubal Cabrera is like a must add by any means, but there are a lot of injuries right now. Mike Moustakas, Josh Donaldson come to mind. Asdrubal Cabrera has dual eligibility. I'm interested.
He's probably more worth rostering than Carter Kieboom, who we were all really rooting for, but who's not playing every day and who has a 42% strikeout rate. Asdrubal Cabrera has kind of always been underrated a little bit. And it's because he's not great. He's just kind of consistently pretty good every year. And in an offensive environment like this, that's not all that valuable, but he's not bad.
He's just kind of old and boring. He's 34 years old now. He's 35% rostered. So he's available again. I don't think he's a must add, but I just think if you're dealing with some injuries or some underperformance to start the year, you need a middle infielder, a corner infielder, whatever it might be, and try and ride the hot hand as Asdrubal Cabrera is playing quite well. Scott is here. We haven't heard from Scott yet. Who is your oh my goodness gracious player of the night, Scott?
I believe I just said, yeah, a minute ago, but that's fine. That's fine. Nobody knew where that yeah came from. I understand.
We need more Scott.
Goodness
the people
gracious player. I mean, probably Aaron Nola. He was ridiculous. He was in his last start too, but he managed to one-up it with this one. 2 hit innings with 10 strikeouts. Threw only 89 pitches to get through those 8 innings. And it's really good. He's an ace. He's an ace. Congratulations, folks who drafted him as your number three. He is pitching more like your number one and probably is the guy we saw 2 years ago, closer to that than the guy we saw last year.
22 strikeouts to just one walk over his last two starts. He had 15 swinging strikes on Monday night against the Atlanta Braves. What's been most shocking for me regarding Nola is how good the changeup has been. His changeup has never been this good, and he had 9 swinging strikes on that pitch tonight. You always hear about the curveball. The fastball is just kind of mad. It's like get me over pitch, but works well in conjunction with those other pitches, you know, 91, 92 miles per hour. Changeup has just been utterly ridiculous. Scott, once you update your ranks, which I know is something you do every week for your trade chart piece, how far up are we moving Aaron Nola? Is he in that Mike Clevenger, Jack Flaherty range? Is he in that, like, you know, 6 to 10 starting pitchers now?
Jack Flaherty, who we've seen, what, one start from this right. season?
Yeah. And who knows at this point, because they postponed doubleheader on Thursday, too, for the Cardinals Tigers, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. They were all in the same tier to begin with. I had reasons to slightly prefer one versus another. But yeah, it was a large tier for me, so I could see moving him up into my top 6, potentially that high. I mean, yeah, it's possible I would move him ahead of those two who you mentioned, Flaherty and Clevenger.
And just for people wondering out there, Scott, since we're going to talk about trades today on the show, you see two great starts, phenomenal starts like this out of Aaron Nola. I think some people's minds automatically go towards, well, let me see what I could get for him. Let me see if I can sell high on Aaron Nola. I don't really think there's a reason to do that, given the landscape of pitching right now. I think he's just an ace.
Yeah. And he's just like I said, we've seen this from him before. We've seen him be dominant ace pitcher in Fantasy Four. And like, he wasn't far off last year. He had some uncharacteristic control problems, a couple of really bad months. But yeah, still somebody who, I don't know, Chris has pointed out that it seemed like he was being oddly downgraded the closer we got to the season, but still drafted in a range of starting pitchers that we classify as high end. It's just where he would ultimately land on the high end spectrum. And it looks like with him back throwing a lot more strikes and having, you know, maybe a better changeup than ever, it looks like he's back to being among the highest of the high end. And there's not really a good reason to suggest he's not that good.
Chris, a standout for you on Monday night, whether it's positive or negative.
God, there's really not all that much to pick from. So I'll just go ahead and go with JD Martinez, who I'm sure there have been some people worried. He finally hit his first home run today. And look, the underlying stats have not been what we're used to from JD Martinez. And, you know, he's 32 years old, so there might be some concern that he's slipping. I think he's fine. I'm glad he hit a home run tonight to make me feel better about that. But you look at, like, this Red Sox lineup has kind of been a huge disappointment, even relative to the down expectations that people had. I think things are going to be a lot better for them moving forward. Like, they look like an offense that you can take advantage of right now, and I just don't think that's who they are. And I think JD Martinez getting on the right track, Rafael Devers getting on the right track, I think both of those will go a long way. Xander Bogaerts has obviously been awesome. Prime.
Yeah. Benintendi's been
I don't know if Andrew Benintendi is going to be better. He seems like he might just be broken, but Martinez and Verdugo and Bogaerts and Devers, I'm pretty confident in.
Yeah, Benintendi, look, I'm not rooting for it, obviously. I mean, the guy is 26 years old. I don't want to be too rash, but he might be done. I'm not going to rule it out.
He just doesn't look anything like the guy he was supposed to. Like, this was supposed to be a guy who put the bat on the ball, consistently hit line drives to all fields. And he's got a 34% strikeout rate right now. He looks completely, completely lost.
Yeah. Not just the guy that he was supposed to. I mean, the guy he was. I mean, he was a serviceable player, Chris. I mean, 2017, 2018, Benintendi was a very good player. He went 20-20 the next year, you know, 16 homers, mm-hmm. 21 steals, .290 batting average. Looks like he was kind of bunting.
He became very boring the last year and a half. Like, yeah. I've called him Nick Markakis-like during that stretch. You know, obviously, if he's going to strike out at this rate, he won't even be that. Not that that is particularly valuable, but of course, he's literally done nothing so far, batting .056.
Yeah.
I brought him up with Devers and Martinez because I put together a list of 46 names today, hitters who people made a fairly substantial investment in, and they've just been awful. It's a really long list, which I to me is reassuring, right? If you have one of those players to look across the league and see how many high-end bats are just off to miserable starts. You know, I don't know how much of that has to do with hitters being behind pitchers at the start of the season, which we kept hearing, how much of it would be, we would see the first couple weeks of any season, and it's just magnified as it always is when we're in the moment, and as it especially is in a season that's only 9 weeks long. But like, things can turn around pretty quickly. You look at where Matt Chapman was 4 days ago versus where he is today, having homered four times in three games. Like, it can turn around very quickly for all of those guys. Maybe not Benintendi, but Devers and JD Martinez. JD Martinez was actually one who homered in that list of 46 today. Also on that list, who happened to homer today, Trey Turner, Eddie Rosario, Anthony Rendon, and I think there's one more. So, like, it may already be turning around for those guys.
Yeah, and to put some context on it, the league as a whole is batting .230. I believe there have only been four seasons in Major League Baseball history where the league has batted .230 or worse, and I think, I want to say it hasn't happened since, it may have happened in 1981, but I don't think so. It was another season that was weird. It might have been one of the years where replacement players were in because of World War II or the Korea. Like, it was some kind of weird, and look, this is a weird circumstance. Several players are not playing right now who otherwise might be. But yeah, the strikeout rate is the highest it's ever been in Major League Baseball history, 23.9%. Isolated slugging is actually down from last year, but a little bit higher than the year before. And league-wide BABIP's .276. It's weird. Pitchers are getting hurt drastically more frequently than normal. I think I saw 56 pitchers have gone on the IL so far this season, which is, I think, something like twice or three times as many as you would normally have at this point. And yet hitters stink.
Yes, all they do. Someone that you mentioned there, Scott, was Matt Chapman, who, again, double dong on Monday, has four multi-hit games in a row, has four home runs over his last three games, as you mentioned. So it's coming around for Matt Chapman. Let's hit some of the news and notes. Don't want to spend too much time on this because there's a lot that I want to get to, but got to start with, you know, the biggest news of the day, which came out of Cleveland once again, and Mike Clevinger will not make his scheduled start on Tuesday against the Cubs after violating health and safety protocols this past weekend in Chicago. Apparently, Clevinger went out with his teammate, Zach Plesac, on Saturday night, and instead of having to take a rental car home, he flew back on the team charter with the rest of the team. This is especially bad because he was around the team for at least Sunday. Maybe parts of Monday. I don't know how that was handled.
And was in a team meeting defending Zach Plesac when everybody was criticizing. He was like, wait, guys, let's go easy on Zach. It could have happened to anyone. Just an absolute bonehead. This is just unbelievably irresponsible. And honestly, I think he should be suspended. I would guess he won't. And for fantasy, I would guess he's still going to make a start this week.
I don't think he makes
a start
this
week. They only
have
five games.
We'll see what happens. Adam Plutko is going to be in there for him today when you're listening to it on Tuesday. But the other teams that did not play on Monday, the Reds, the Royals, the Marlins, Blue Jays, Yankees, Orioles, and the Cubs. So if you still have the ability to take him out of your lineup and you want to use a pitcher from one of those teams, it's something that you could look at doing if your league allows you to still do that. But I don't think Mike Clevinger makes a start this week. That's just my hunch. I don't really have any more information than that. Ramon Laureano, he was in somewhat of a brawl on Sunday, and he's in the lineup Monday. He's likely going to face a suspension. We don't know how long that is going to be, but obviously a situation to pay attention to for Ramon Laureano. Another very just weird situation in general. Apparently, you know, jawing back and forth with like a coach of the Houston Astros.
Alex Cintron apparently said something very rude to Ramon Laureano.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. The Rays placed Charlie Morton on the IL on Monday, and manager Kevin Cash said that he's hopeful Morton will be ready for activation when first eligible. I don't know if that's going to happen. We shall see. Corey Seager is still out with a back issue. He hasn't played since Friday. As a Seager owner, I don't feel great because I know he has dealt with back injuries in the past, but it's got there. I mean, there's nothing you could do with Seager. You just kind of hold him and hope he gets healthy because he was ridiculous before he got hurt, right?
Right. I didn't start him. Well, that's not true. I have a lot of Corey Seager. I did have to start him in some leagues, but in leagues where I could help it, I didn't.
Speaking of players that are still out, George Springer was not in the lineup on Monday as he's dealing with a wrist issue. Rafael Devers was not in the lineup for the Red Sox Monday with a sore ankle. I have a feeling we'll talk about him on tomorrow's show. We're going to do a little bit of worryometer with some of those players that you were referring to, Scott, that are off to slow starts. And Devers is one of those that I want to talk about. Thursday's doubleheader between the Cardinals and the Tigers has been postponed. No surprise there. Now we wait and see what happens between the Cardinals and the White Sox this weekend. Madison Bumgarner was placed on the IL with the back issue that he left with on in Sunday's game. We mentioned that you can drop Madison Bumgarner, especially if you don't have any IL spots. That's fine. You could do that. Someone else you could drop is Marcus Stroman, who has opted out for the season. He was working his way back from a calf injury. He is eligible for free agency after this season concludes. But yes, you can drop him in redraft leagues, of course. Phillies pitching prospect Spencer Howard and Vince Velasquez are both being prepped to start on Friday, which apparently means that we're looking at a piggyback situation. If that's the case, Scott, we just spoke about Spencer Howard on yesterday's show, and we said that you know he is a starting pitcher you should be looking to add. Is that still the case if we're looking at a piggyback role for Howard?
Well, I wouldn't want to react rashly and dump him now. It would have to be a pretty shallow league to even consider it. We don't know exactly what the distribution of those innings would be. We don't know who would come in first. But yeah, it was kind of it was kind of disappointing in that way that Velasquez had actually an effective start in the first game of that doubleheader on Sunday, because it meant they probably weren't going to drop him out of the rotation so easily. But obviously they want Howard to stick around. And you know, I don't know. Based on that first start Howard had against the Braves, I wouldn't be activating him right away in fantasy anyway. So it's more of a continue to stash situation and see how this plays out. But obviously the upside is there for him to be an impactful player if he is able to get a sizable enough workload. And frankly, I was encouraged. He threw 81 pitches in his major league debut, and I don't think walked anybody. Yeah, there were some good signs there, even though the final line wasn't great.
Jose Abreu left Monday's game with a left hip issue. Manager Rick Renteria said he's hopeful that it's not, that it is a minor issue. So something to pay attention to. That just stinks because he's already locked into your lineup. So we'll see what happens with Jose Abreu. One walk for Howard. But not least, Luis Urias, the Milwaukee Brewers, was activated and was batting seventh in the lineup Monday. He went 1-for-4 with a run scored just last season in AAA. He batted .315 with 19 home runs and 7 steals in just 73 games. Chris, I know Urias was someone that you were excited about. What is the level that we need to get Urias on our team? Like, what is the urgency level here for Urias?
Oh, it's low. I had him stashed in like a 14 and a 15 team league, maybe 2 15 team leagues. And so that's probably the only league. He's been really overmatched in the majors, strikes out a lot.
He doesn't strike out a lot, but he has. Yeah. That's
yeah. He's kind of not the problem. Supposed to, and he hasn't hit the ball hard. It hasn't been like a Castanheira situation where he's made, like, even today he had his hardest hit ball out of the three was 81 miles per hour and it was a 63 foot single. So, the AAA numbers suggest there is a very viable fantasy profile here. Batting average, power, at least he grew into some power last year and some speed, but not someone he needs to hit first.
Yeah, and he's in a good position to do so if he gets the opportunity to play every day. It's a really good ballpark to hit in. And we've kind of talked about how the Brewers are off to not a great offensive start, so they could definitely use some help there behind Christian Yelich and Keston Hiura. Guys, some leftovers from the weekend, some stuff that, you know, I wanted to get to talk about some players that are hot right now, specifically some hitters. And we've talked about them a lot. Scott, kudos to you. I mean, you were talking about Kiner Falefa for the past 2 months. And I think at some point, Chris laughed at you. Who's laughing now, Chris? Ha, ha, ha.
That doesn't sound like something I would have done.
Kiner Falefa is up to 65% rostered. Entering Monday night's action, he was batting .333, tied for the American League lead with 4 steals. Definitely not something we saw coming. Scott, would you be okay in a one-catcher league dropping someone like Wilson Ramos or Will Smith for Kiner Falefa, specifically for either guy? I mean, Ramos is just off to a slow start, and Will Smith, I think, is going to get better, but he just doesn't play enough, so it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I don't think, like, neither of those guys was going to be such a difference maker for you that I'd be afraid to cut them loose for the hotter hand. It is worth pointing out that Kiner Falefa, well, he's certainly been good. The only way, you know, it hasn't been quite the way that I expected him to be good. I thought he had remade his swing to tap into a lot of power, which he showed both in spring training and summer camp. And look, maybe it'll come around, but so far, 1 double, 2 triples, no homers, a lot of singles. So, you know, that's not what I was hoping to see. Obviously, I wasn't counting on stolen bases. I was counting on a lot of playing time, and that alone can be a difference maker at that position specifically. So, yeah, I'd be fine dropping either of those two for Kiner Falefa. I would not drop like Mitch Garver for him. He's one of those 46 players who's off to a miserable start and was out of the lineup for a second straight day today. So clearly they are on Monday, I should say. So clearly they're looking to give him a little extra rest, hope to get him going that way. But that's, to me, that's the potential for more impact there. And like, if you can afford to roster both and you want to go with Kiner Falefa because he's the hot hand, that's fine. But I would not, like, I'm not moving Kiner Falefa over Garver in my rest of season rankings.
I do think Kiner Falefa should probably be rostered in every league, though. I mean, obviously every two catcher league, but given the fact that he is playing every day, it's going to be hard for him not to be a top 10 catcher, given the playing time gap. And that's also why I've, you know, made a point of adding Victor Caratini in a lot of leagues, because he's basically playing every day for the Cubs as either a catcher, a DH, or I think he's played a couple times at first base. That can give you a big edge, even if they're not that good, and both might be like average hitting catchers anyway. Caratini might even be a little better than that.
Yeah, Victor Caratini is batting .313 to start the season. He started the past 2 games for the Cubs, but set the 3 before that. So
I think he started 10 out of 13 overall or something like that, or 9 out of 13.
But it's something I've noticed that they are consciously just trying to get his bat in the lineup any way that they possibly can. The one thing I'll say about Wilson Ramos, I agree, I would drop Ramos for Kiner Falefa. But if you have Ramos in a two-catcher league, I think better days are coming. Something we wanted to see out of him entering the season was that he lowered the ground ball rate. So far this year, it's 45.7%. Last year it was 62%. And his launch angle, we've referenced it before, was 0. His average launch angle was 0, Wilson Ramos, 0.0 last season. And this year it's 10 for his average launch angle. So
that's 10 more.
I think better days are coming for Wilson Ramos. I would still make that swap, by the way. Guys, 4 outfielders that are pretty hot as of now. Anthony Santander, he's batting .254 with 3 homers, 14 RBI, which is like top 10 in all of baseball right now. All of a sudden, I mean, we joke about the Marlins being a juggernaut offensively. The Orioles offense is actually swinging the bats quite well as well. Alex Verdugo, he hit 3 home runs late last week, and he has now played 6 straight games and has batted either first or second in the lineup 3 games in a row. AJ Pollock was batting .311 with 4 homers entering Monday night, but he sits too often still. I mean, he's sat 3 of the last 6 games for the Dodgers. And then Jacoby Jones, like, we brought up the name before. It kind of feels like we're still kind of not taking him seriously. He's batting .333, hit his 5th homer on Monday night. It was an inside the Parker. But Scott, how would you rank those four outfielders? Santander, Alex Verdugo, AJ Pollock, Jacoby Jones, specifically the last two are likely more available, but I've still seen Santander and Verdugo lying around in some three outfielder leagues.
Yeah, I'm mostly reverting to my priors with this ranking, but Verdugo would be a distant number one for me. Yeah. And followed probably by Pollock, just in the hope he starts to play more regularly. And then I'd put Jones third. Like, I'm still skeptical of Jones. He's striking out as much as before. Yeah. He's not, like, his quality of contact hasn't vastly improved. His launch angle hasn't vastly changed. Like, I'm not seeing a lot of evidence that he's a different player. He's just barreled up the ball a lot, which, you know, seems like a hot streak to me. But I understand in leagues of a certain depth where you always have players you can burn, you might want to take a flyer on him just to see where this goes.
Where did you have Santander on that list? Was he last?
I only ranked my top three, Verdugo, Pollock, and Jones. Wow. I guess, is that...
Damn.
That leaves Santander fourth by default, right?
I believe Santander is like 15th in the majors in RBI since the All-Star break last year. When I was looking up the Asdrubal Cabrera numbers, that one also stood out to me with his 283 on base percentage.
Yeah, he does not walk, so that is not going to be helpful there. He puts the ball in the air, 47% fly ball rate this year, 43% last year, and he's got a 45% hard contact rate thus far. So, I mean, it's kind of a similar situation to Renato Nunez. He just does what you want hitting in Camden Yards. He puts the ball in the air, and he hits the ball hard. I agree that I would put Verdugo first on that list. I think I would put Santander second, actually. Chris, what do you think?
I might go Pollock last, which if you could guarantee me Pollock was going to play something like every day, he might be top two, but yeah, it's just hard for me to buy into someone who's not playing that much. I would take Santander and Jones over him. Took me a second to get to that last name.
Scott, I'm just going to throw a few names your way, and for each one, you could just say, yes, I'm dropping this player for all of them, or just Verdugo, whatever it might be. Justin Upton. How many of those players are you dropping Justin Upton for?
I drop him for Verdugo. I'd probably drop him for any of them. I might hesitate on Santander if it was just for a bench spot. See if Upton can figure out a way to stay in the lineup close to every day. But if it's not, then obviously I don't feel like Upton's in a good spot to play in, on your fantasy team right now.
How about Oscar Mercado, Scott?
Yeah, he's not doing much of anything. And I question that skill set from the beginning. He is somebody who can provide steals when he's going well, and those are hard to find. I definitely drop him for Verdugo. It would be mostly a needs thing after that. I think I'd be more likely to hold on to him for the others.
Just a few other names that I'll rattle off for you here quickly.
Okay.
Willie Calhoun. I think are we holding on here, Scott?
I am. Yeah. He had a big game Sunday, right?
Yeah. He does have,
I think he's going to come around.
He has two hits on Monday.
I'd rather have Verdugo, but that's it.
He has two hits on Monday, including a triple and two RBI. So, hopefully, sign of things to come. How about Scott Kingery, Scott? Someone who's off to a very slow start.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the Phillies lost a lot of games at the start of the year, and he was talking about having some shortness of breath coming back from COVID-19. So I'm not sure where he's at physically. I'm not sure he's gotten a large enough sample to really know. And that speed is so important. Versatility is now triple eligible, picked up second base. Verdugo would be the only one I'd drop him for.
Like, we should note, he was awful in 2018 and wasn't that good in 2019. Like, Scott Kingery just may not be good.
He was a 20-20 pace over like 400 at bats.
Right, but like over, like as an overall hitter, he was pretty mediocre.
Yeah, still strikes out a lot, but
yeah. I kind of went away from him. Like, he was someone I went into the season kind of thing, like, oh, maybe I might have a lost Scott Kingery, and then I just, every time I looked at it, I was like, am I sure he's good?
There's no reason to bother with Kingery in a points league. It's just, he's a special, he's a unique player in that he brings unique eligibility and he brings the speed that's so hard to find in the formats where you need it.
I will say, among the him and Nick Senzel were kind of similar in my mind. I think Nick Senzel's clearly passed him so far. His quality of contact has been really impressive so far.
Yeah, and I know Senzel is, I believe, dealing with something, an injury of sorts, so he hasn't been in the lineup.
I think it was, though. He was supposed, at last report, he's supposed to be back in the lineup tomorrow. I didn't trust it enough to play him in the league where I have him, but supposed to have him.
Yeah, his batted ball data so far, he was one that stood out to me when I was looking at some stuff earlier today. Scott, what do you make of your boy Garrett Hampson playing 5 days in a row? Only has 4 hits during that span. He has 1 homer. He actually stole another base on Monday night. He's still 44% rostered. All of the starts that he has made have been against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, I think and
so all they've faced five lefties in a row. Look at that. They have. Yeah. He's been batting leadoff when they faced lefties. And yeah, back-to-back days with a stolen base. I mean, those roto leagues, it'd be difficult to cut him loose. Not clear when you'd be able to play him, but like he's capable of stealing a lot of bases, as he's shown the past 2 days. So, yeah,
I do think it's basically just the lefties thing. Like Sam Hilliard has started one of those last 5 games, I believe, and that was only the second game of a doubleheader. So it does seem like the Rockies do have some pretty clear platoons. And
yeah, frankly, I think that could change at any moment.
Yeah,
Hampson has a big game and the platoon's over.
Yeah, they're just honestly, and the way that lineup looks right now, if anyone has a big game, they could be, because like nobody is hitting for them. It's like the Charlie Blackman and Trevor Story show, and that is absolutely it, except for today. They've had a good day.
Yeah, there's a slobber knocker going on in Colorado right now. Matt Kemp has been serviceable in deeper leagues. Chris Owings has randomly been playing for this team, so yeah, you're right. Nolan Arenado, 3 hits, so that's good to see. Get the batting average up a little bit there. Chris, I have a question for you from over the weekend. We mentioned the name, but we didn't mention what to do with him. Matt Boyd, we've been getting a lot of questions regarding him. Against the Pirates, this was supposed to be the game that got him right. 8 hits allowed, 7 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 2/3 innings pitched. Last year, on the slider, he was allowing a 167 batting average against and a 500 slug. This year, 400 batting average against and a 1,000 slug. Are you okay dropping Boyd for, let's say, the Astros guys, Framber Valdez, Bialik, or his teammate, Spencer Turnbull? What do you do there, Chris?
No, I probably wouldn't drop him for those guys. There's been at least a little bit of bad luck involved. You know, obviously we said that last year, and you know, maybe he's the kind of guy who just gets hit so hard that everything's bad luck. but the slider's good. So I'm the fact that the slider's been hit hard so far, that, you know, you're only talking about 16 balls in play, I believe, maybe even less, 11 balls in play. So, you know, the average exit velocity on the slider, 84 miles per hour. I think that's mostly just a fluke. I don't think Matt Boyd's going to be the ace that we were hoping for, because a lot of the interest there was predicated on him getting better, but also on the curveball and changeup that looked really good in spring training that really haven't been there so far. But I think there's still too much strikeout upside. So I would stick with him.
It's not a Madison Bumgarner situation where velocity's way down and how is he going to muster anything at this point? The stuff appears intact. It just hasn't gotten results yet, and it's worrisome, especially after the second half he had. But I don't know. I doubt too many people listening are in a position where they can dump starting pitcher upside.
Some trade targets, guys. Trade target Tuesday. That's what I'm dubbing this. So creative, I know. Obviously, any top 25 player who is underperforming right now is of interest. And again, we're gonna have a worryometer tomorrow. So email us some players you want us to talk about for the worryometer, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And surprise, surprise, guys, one of the hitters that I would be trying to buy right now
Manny Machado. Oh,
No, I mean, I don't think you could buy him low. I mean, his batting average is still low. He's still kind of hitting for power and has some steals. But Eloy Jimenez, the other guy that I was touting heading into the season, he's batting .214 with a .411 slug. His XBA is .266. His X-slug is .552. He currently has a .229 BABIP. Last year, that was .308. The launch angle is god-awful, and I'm not going to defend that. He's hitting too many ground balls, and he needs to raise the ball a little bit. But I think there's enough in the underlying numbers here, and especially with the prospect pedigree, where if anybody is kind of worried about Eloy Jimenez to start, I would be trying to pounce on that. I would sell guys like Mike Yastrzemski for him, which I know, Scott, you're like, you're a Yaz man. But
I am. I rank Jimenez ahead rest of season. I mean, this is how fortunes can turn the other way so drastically at a stage of the season where the sample is still very small. Because a week ago, Jimenez was batting .333 with a .1045 OPS. And everybody was taking victory laps, right? And he's gone 1-for-23 since then. And now this is the way his overall numbers look. It's just... Yeah, I mean, this is why, for the most part, my opinions haven't changed on any hitter. Yeah. It's just not enough time. And I understand we're a quarter of the way into the season, but yeah, like that really shouldn't change your process.
You can't treat 15 games differently just because there's only 60. We talked about that yesterday. And like, you can change your opinion on a pitcher because like they have a new pitch or they're throwing the ball harder. Exit velocity doesn't work that way. Like, batting stats just don't work that way. They don't change that quickly. You don't get, unless it's Eric Hosmer or some kind of extreme yeah. change like that, where you're going from like the worst in baseball at a thing to one of the best or one of the most extreme.
An obvious skill change. But yeah, if you believe the skills are still intact, yeah. then the day he turns it around is always potentially tomorrow. And yeah. there are still too many tomorrows to cut bait on that now. So I know I'm talking to the person who already has Eloy Jimenez and not necessarily the person looking to buy him, but obviously the person looking to buy him. Yeah, if you can get him for a discount, Yastrzemski, I think, would be fine.
Scott, would you trade Kyle Lewis for him? Because I keep wanting to say sell high on Kyle Lewis, but...
Yes.
Again on Monday, 3-for-4, that's 3 fine. RBI, 2 runs scored, another homer, Kyle on Kyle action. He took Kyle Gibson deep. I mean,
I am
just keeps mashing.
I am going to die on this hill. Kyle Lewis is not that good. He's not that good. His strikeout rate is slightly better now than it was last year. It's still 30%.
Yeah.
And like, he's not making.
He has a .525 BABIP.
Is that good?
He's not making the quality of contact to get away with that kind of high strikeout rate. It's not nearly as good as last year. It's nowhere close to like Judge or Gallo level. Yeah. And yeah, the BABIP stat, that pretty much says it all right there. That probably could have ended it.
I think he can be good, or at least like a useful fantasy option. But yeah, if it was possible to get someone like Eloy Jimenez for him, I would do that in a second. I wouldn't even think about it.
Chris, he's getting hyped like he's an up-and-coming star. And that's like, he may be Teoscar Hernandez. Useful.
He's
in
probably
that
better than Teoscar.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more excited.
27 homers last year. Come on.
I'm a little more excited about what Kyle Lewis is. I would obviously make the swap too, but every day that goes by, I buy in a little bit more. Just a little bit more on Kyle Lewis. Chris, the last name I'll bring up is Will Myers, who's off to a great start. His barrel rate is 24%. His X slug is .665. Like, he is destroying the baseball right now. Would you, if you could swap Will Myers for Eloy Jimenez, would you do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would easily do that. And look, I liked Will Myers quite a bit coming into the season. I would have hoped for more than one stolen base through the quarter mark, but like he's a decent hitter, but he still strikes out way too much. Like, this is another situation where there's just obvious regression coming. And by the way, Kyle Lewis has a 100 BABIP tonight with those three hits.
Well, that's because they don't count home runs, right? Home runs are not included in BABIP.
Well, yeah, but it's still. Oh no, that's right. Okay, one of the hits was a home run. Okay, so, no, it's still one home 100 because it was a strikeout and a home run. Yeah,
Kyle Lewis, everybody. If you could swap him for Eloy Jimenez, make it happen, Scott. Who is a realistic trade target? One or two names that, you know, outside of the top obvious names that we're looking at struggling right now, that you actually think you can go out and acquire right now for cheaper than we entered the season?
Well, somebody I've been getting a lot of questions about, and I brought him up earlier, is Mitch Garver, to the extent that you're looking to trade for a catcher. I don't know how much one home run from JD Martinez is going to change the math there, but seems like people are starting to get worried about him. Josh Bell, I mean, he has kind of some of that one hit wonder vibe to him that, you know, I can't guarantee he's going to bounce back, but I don't see any reason to assume he won't either. And if you can get him for obviously an extreme bargain, you got to do it. I don't know. There's so many hitters here. Let me see another good example. I don't know. Any of the Astros guys, right? Jose Altuve or Alex Bregman. Like, there's, and like the person who has them, you might be doing him a favor by ridding himself of the stink of an Astro, the stench. Like, I'm all for that. George Springer would be on that list too, but he's dealing with a bit of an injury, so I'm not sure how that's impacting his start to the season. Those are a few names there. I mean, I'm still not ready to punt on Marcus Semien, and he's off to a terrible start. Brian Reynolds, I still think he's going to be a good source of batting average. Of course, that's a little on the lower end.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the lower end, a name that I was looking at, and he's having a good game tonight too, is Nick Solak, who has started 11 games in a row for the Rangers. He stole his third base tonight, and he entered this game batting .227 with a .306 xBA. I don't even know that you need to trade for him necessarily. He's only rostered in 32% of leagues, but if you're playing in Roto and, you know, someone just is like, oh, well, it's Nick Solak, whatever. I think that better days are coming for him. He's making a lot of contact. The strikeout rate is down. And they're letting him run in Texas this year with Kiner Falefa and Nick Solak.
How about that?
Definitely someone that I am interested in. Chris, any names that come to mind in terms of buying right now?
I would buy high on Eric Hosmer, who did finally hit. He has 2 ground balls on the season now. The dream ended, but yeah, I believe in the changes he made. I think he's going to be really good. And, you know, he's been really good when he's been in the lineup, but the fact that he's missed so many games may have hidden that. And I would buy Kyle Tucker. I think he's much better than he has been so far. I think there are, like, the strikeout rate is concerning, especially because it was a pretty high last year as well. I think he's probably not a 30% strikeout rate guy. I think he's probably more like a 25% strikeout rate. And he hasn't gotten the results that he probably deserves. I'm still very bullish on what we've seen from Kyle Tucker, especially the fact that he's been, you know, mostly playing every day.
All right. So I skipped over some names here I want to mention. I had a chance to organize my thoughts here. Gleyber Torres might be the underachiever who makes the least sense in terms of his underachievement. So that's an easy buy low. Carlos Santana, he's been walking a ton but doing nothing else. But we know who Carlos Santana is. That's easy. Trey Turner, the fact he doesn't have a stolen base yet, I think his owner might be freaking out, and you could get him for quite the discount. I still think, you know, he's pretty good odds of leading the majors in home runs, leading the majors in steals.
Would take the under on the home runs.
Yeah, me too.
We'll take the field for sure.
we'll just leave it at this.
Go ahead and throw Anthony Rendon. Like, he's an incredibly good hitter, and, you know, the fact that he got on base 3 times and hit his first home run today, maybe it's a little too late for that, but Anthony Rendon is not going to struggle this season. He's way too good.
Yeah, a few pitchers that caught my mind. Luis Castillo, I think, is just kind of the poster child of trying to buy low right now. Don't know how realistic it is, but, you know, I've seen some crazy things where people are very reactionary in the shortened season. I've heard of people dropping, like, star players in their leagues because they're off to slow starts. So if anyone's worrying about Luis Castillo, he's a 4.76 ERA, a 1.73 FIP, and a 2.15 XFIP with a 19% swinging strike rate, which is just otherworldly, and his velocity is up. So if someone's
62% ground ball rate,
yeah, there's just everything to love about Luis Castillo right now. If you know, if someone's looking at Brandon Woodruff was off to a nice start, and you can flip him for Castillo, don't know how realistic it is, but something I would try to do. And Jose Berríos, I'm a little hesitant here. I like that the velocity is up. I don't like that he's been walking more people thus far. But the swinging strike rate is basically where it's been at throughout the course of his career. He's going to have some nice matchups coming up where they face the Tigers a few times. They have a few series left with them. I just think better days are coming for Jose Berríos. Scott, if you can flip someone like Denelson Lamet or Dylan Bundy for Jose Berríos, is that something that you would do? Because that seems like a classic sell high, buy low situation.
It does. And I think so. I'd try to get, like, I'm all about Berríos as a buy low. It's just, I'm mostly buying into those two, their breakouts. And if it, you know, if it ends up being just a lateral move, you know, that's not really improving your team's bottom line. Bundy, so I would try to get Berríos another way, but if push came to shove, I think I would make either of those deals.
Bundy's a lot easier for me to say, yes, I would rather trade him. Lamet, obviously I had higher expectations for him than Bundy coming in. On the other hand, like, Berríos is not someone I would necessarily like be trying to chase down just because he's not a particularly high upside guy.
Sorry, did I interrupt the thought?
Well, no, not really. I was pretty much done. I just, like, Berríos is like the quintessential, like, number 2/number 3 fantasy starter. Yeah. And I don't see much room for him to improve on that.
Yeah, he was attractive more for his floor than his ceiling, which is interesting that we're talking about him getting off to a slow start. But I'm still in the mindset that anytime I can trade hitters to get pitchers, I'm pretty much going to do it. So that would probably be more the way I'm trying to get Berríos if I have hitters to spare, or like a hot starter, like, I don't know, Trent Grisham, maybe pair Trent Grisham with some lower end arm and you can get him that way. Classic Frank 2-for-1, right?
Yeah. Now you're learning, Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, even a name like Dansby Swanson kind of comes to mind, although I do like Dansby Swanson quite a bit. In one shortstop leagues, I mean, shortstop is a very deep position. So something else that that comes to mind there. Quickly promote that you should be dropping a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you can, and leave a question. We'll answer it on the pod on a future podcast. I understand we've been slacking here with the questions. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and answer some of your questions here on Fantasy Baseball Today. And I want to give a shout out to Lamont Williams and a few other dedicated FBT listeners who formed the CBS Pod Listener League from some obscure circumstances. He sent this in earlier today. So Adam, remember 4 years ago when you used a selection for the Listener League on the NCAA basketball tournament and there was a deluge of emails because someone asked a question and everyone kept replying? So much so that you had to shoot a shouting email telling everyone to stop replying all because there was so much email traffic. Well, from the ashes of that email, Dumpster Fire was formed, the CBS Pod Listener League, a dedicated group of now 12 owners from all over the U.S., 2 from Australia, 1 living in Taiwan, and 1 who worked frequently in South America. It's just awesome. And I've said this before, when you guys sent in your Listener League song submissions, it's just, I'm blown away all the time. We really do appreciate all of your support, and I thought it was worth giving a shout out. So shout out to you guys. We really do appreciate your support. All right, when we come back, we'll give you an update on Lance McCullers, Dustin May, what they did tonight. Is Chris going to have to grow a Dobnak? We'll find out more after this.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
We're back here on Fantasy Baseball Today, and Chris, I don't know if you know about this, but apparently you're one half of the way to growing a Dobnak on your face.
Yeah, you keep doing this. Like, you asked on Sunday, I think, if I would be willing to shave my face into a Randy Dobnak-esque facial hair setup if he had both a quality start or a win in each of his starts today, this week. And I told you flat out no, because my wife would leave me if I shaved my beard. She does not like the way my face looks unless there is hair covering it. And you have a beard.
I mean,
first of all, you haven't put that much work in. Like, I'm on several months. Like, I conditioned this thing. I blow dried. I got a curl brush.
This is all I'm capable of, Chris.
And like, you've got so much less to lose.
I have a fiance.
You don't have any facial hair compared to me.
It just wouldn't look as good on me. Like, all right, whatever. I tried. Look, you were the anti Dobnak guy, so I was trying to make things interesting.
You were the anti Dobnak guy.
No, it wasn't. It was just you.
Yeah. I picked up Dobnak and started him in multiple leagues. So.
You can't expect me to remember conversations that I've been a part of.
All right. Well, I tried, guys. We'll give you an update on Lance McCullers, who wound up going 7 innings against the San Francisco Giants, allowed just 1 hit, 0 walks, 5 strikeouts, 10 swinging strikes on 86 pitches. So, Scott, I know we had the conversation last week whether or not we should get him in the lineup after his horrible start last time out. This is exactly what you needed to see, I think, in a bounce back.
Sure. I mean, it was favorable matchup. I think his next one is also in this 2-start week. He's still not throwing the curveball as often as he did prior to Tommy John, and it wasn't impressive in terms of the whiffs he was getting. It was fine. Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with him, but he said after that last start when he got knocked around that he didn't feel like it was a start where his stuff was actually bad, and I guess this backs up what he was saying. Yeah, I mean, McCullers certainly looks like a hold now.
Go ahead, Chris.
I don't have a problem with him throwing his changeup more because in 2018 it was a really good pitch for him, and you know that's fine. The curveball, I think, is still his best pitch. I just wish it was coming more at the expense of the sinker rather than the curve. He's throwing the curve like 33% of the time now. It was 47% before. His upside is so much higher, I think, when he's focused on the curveball, and that's not a change that I necessarily love, and it was still there tonight. You know, he threw the sinker more than anything else tonight, so that's something that I am watching, because he did only have 10 swinging strikes in this one, and you know, Lance McCullers is someone who I want to see a lot of whiffs from, and that curveball and really the changeup are the two ways he's going to do it.
Scott, you mentioned that McCullers is a hold for now. Someone who also might be a hold is Dustin May, who has now gone 6 innings in back-to-back starts. He's allowed exactly 2 earned runs in each of those. Both starts came against the San Diego Padres. Not a lot of swings and misses tonight, only 5 whiffs total, 2 strikeouts. What do we do with Dustin May? Because Alex Wood, I believe, either just had a bullpen session where he threw 30 pitches or he has one coming up. So he's on the mend. What do we do with Dustin May?
Well, we follow the Dodgers' lead for now because we don't know exactly what they're going to do with Dustin May. If he's in the rotation, I mean, there's no reason to give him up in fantasy. He's trending the right direction. I wish he missed more bats, but he gets a ton of ground balls. He throws strikes. He's shown between this year and last year that he seems to have a knack for run prevention. And I mean, the strikeouts have been decent. It's not like they've been non-existent. So, you know, he's somebody you want for as long as he has a rotation spot. And I'm not saying if he gets bumped from the rotations, he's necessarily a drop either. It would depend what the format is, but he'll have a lot of bulk relief appearances, I assume.
I would at least consider trying to sell high. He has a lot of hype around him right now. You know, there's a lot of GIFs flying around baseball Twitter, and I don't think he's going to be someone who's routinely going six innings, even if he does stay in the rotation. Like he needs kind of that perfect storm of outcomes to get there. And so, like, I agree he's good, but I think you might be able to get more from him than he's going to give you moving forward.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. By the way, you mentioned Dobnak inspiring facial hair here, but like, did we point out the start he had?
Dobnak went 5 innings, 1 run ball, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. He was very shaky early on. I watched his entire start and then really, really settled down from the 3rd through the 5th inning against a mediocre Brewers lineup. I thought it was a serviceable start, Scott, if you picked him up as a 2-starter.
Yeah, I'm not sure how anxious I am to drop him if I picked him up as a 2-start streamer. 2 earned runs allowed now this season, and you know, between the majors and minors last year, I believe he had an ERA below 2. So he's still interesting in a boring way, and that goes a long way in, you know, at a time when so many pitchers are going to make you pull your hair out. I'm not saying he's ever going to be must start, but like he might be handy to keep around. He might be a better Dallas Keuchel, frankly. Well,
so that's the guy I was going to say. Like, this is the kind of thing, though, where when like a new guy comes in and starts doing Dallas Keuchel things, we would probably, and not necessarily us as a podcast, because I think you're being pretty measured about it, but just as a like a baseball world, we're in a fantasy baseball world, we're going to be more interested in the new guy, especially if he's got a mustache and rec specs, doing Dallas Keuchel things than we ever actually are about Dallas Keuchel. And like, I think a Dallas Keuchel outcome is probably pretty reasonable. Like he throws like Dallas Keuchel from the right-hand side, and you look at the pitch chart and there is literally nothing in the strike zone, basically above the belt. He had a theme and he executed it really well. But there's limited upside there.
The one thing that I've noticed is he's not really going deep into games so far. He's gone 4, 5, 6, and 5 innings in his 4 starts thus far. And he has been below 80 pitches in 3 of those. So not really going deep in starts. That might be measured. They might not want him, you know, third time through the order, as much as he pitches to contact. That's something they consciously did with Jake Odorizzi last year. So something to pay attention to. I'm probably not dropping him yet either. Let's see what happens with his 2nd start in the week. But so far, so good for Randy Dobnak. On the other side in that game was Freddie Peralta, who came on a relief. 4 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. I mean, Chris, we spoke about this with Corbin Burns. What do we do with these guys from a fantasy perspective? Because it seems in a points league, it's a little bit tougher to figure out, are they actually going to be bulk relievers the 5th time through the order every single time? It seems like they're more suited for roto roles right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you compare Freddie Peralta and Corbin Burns, I think there's much more upside with Corbin Burns. If he does figure it out, like he has the kind of pitch mix that could actually allow him to pitch deep into games. Freddie Peralta is basically a 2-pitch pitcher, and you know, there's kind of this like new slider that he's thrown in there, that slider and curveball that now he has, but you know, for the most part, it's all fastballs, and then he's mixing in the breaking balls. And I think this is the Freddie Peralta role.
Yeah.
Come in, throw as many fastballs as you want, 'cause he is a very fastball heavy pitcher. Come in as a change of pace after a starter and just give us as much as you can out of the bullpen. I think that's the best role for him. And I have trouble seeing him succeeding as a starter in a way that I don't with Corbin Burns. So
I separate the two in terms of value too. I mean, you were talking about in terms of upside, but I think in terms of role, like Burns has been linked with Brett Anderson the past 2 turns. He's just followed Brett Anderson. Brett Anderson has been kind of like a 3-inning opener And then Burns came in through 5 1/3, his most recent outing. So gave a starter's workload. Yeah, obviously he can't get quality starts if he's doing that. I'm not sure how often he was going to go deep enough to get a quality start anyway. It might be better this way. He's more often in line for a win. So I think Burns is usable in points leagues still, and maybe even attractive. But, you know, Peralta in those deeper categories leagues where you're using middle relievers anyway, last two appearances, 14 strikeouts, 2 hits, and 7 innings. I mean, that'll play if this is the role for him.
10 swinging strikes on 61 pitches on Monday night as well. So, I mean, there's some stuff there. And they gave him a contract extension back in spring training. So there's something the Brewers like about Freddie Peralta. Guys, want to get to some questions. And, of course, I haven't done this in a while. Team Name Tuesday. Continue to send these in. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com. These two are from Tanner. McMahon Cave and McMahon of War. Maybe he's related to Ryan McMahon, but... Thumbs up, thumbs down.
No, yeah, that's a team name.
All right. These are from Richard. I don't know. Maybe this is supposed to be flattening the curve ball. Fattening the curve ball. It's probably flattening the curve ball.
Oh, flattening the curve. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's going for. Bubich, get out of the way.
That's very good. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that is good.
Karen, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Both of these are in the mold of Yasmani Money Tomas problems, but are so much better.
Are you some kind of moron?
Yeah.
This one's from Alfonso, and I'm just going to preface this while I'm editing, because if I have to edit this out, I know where it's at. Canna got a puck you. A lot of moving parts on that one.
Yeah, I get that one.
It's just too many names.
Yeah, Brandon. Four names at once.
Can I get a what? I think just works better. And we definitely don't have to bleep you out if that was the team name.
All right, some APR questions that we've received from Timmy Neutron. Apologies, I think you asked this like last week while he was still slumping, but what are your thoughts on Jorge Soler? Maybe we should have Chris answer this. Chris, what are your thoughts on Jorge Soler?
So it's been a couple days since I've looked at him, and this is always a struggle when you're doing this early in the season, because someone can have something going wrong 2 days ago and all of a sudden, Jorge Soler looks awesome right now. So he hits the ball really hard, and I didn't expect the strikeout rate from the second half to materialize, and that hasn't been the case. So I'm not expecting, the huge breakout, but he's clearly a very good power hitter.
Would you take him over Giancarlo Stanton rest of season?
Yeah.
He finally won you over. Yeah.
All it took was Giancarlo Stanton actually getting hurt.
So far Soler
being better than Jorge Soler before getting hurt.
Soler looks a lot like the player he was last year. So far, 286 batting average, 925 OPS, 5 homers, 10 ribbies, good walk rate, strikeout rates right in line. He's still hitting the ball extremely hard, I think. Jorge Soler kind of is who you drafted him to be. He's an outfielder, too, who's going to provide a lot of power. This one's from The Train. Who would you rather stash? Which doesn't really make sense at this point, but who would you rather own? Let's just ask this way. Spencer Howard or Mackenzie Gore? Although we don't know when Mackenzie Gore is coming, Scott.
Yeah, and that's... I have no reason to believe Mackenzie Gore's on his way soon. I know they just opened up a rotation spot, but... their beat writer, I forget his name, the Padres beat writer for MLB.com, was talking about how Luis Patino came up because he was one of their most impressive pitchers in camp and Gore wasn't. So, we don't know what's been going on at the minor league camp, but they have a lot of arms they could put in that spot other than Gore. I'm not saying Gore is an absolutely no way stash him kind of guy, but Howard has a job and is pretty exciting in his own right. So definitely Howard.
And they had a weird situation. Perdomo opened on Monday, then Strom, then Quantrill. So they really kind of just pieced it together with a bullpen on Monday night.
That may have been the spot, right? I can't even remember when it was coming up.
Because if Patino had pitched well in his relief appearances, I think they probably would have given him the opportunity to start here. But so far, he's made 2 relief appearances and hasn't looked very good.
My understanding was he was just getting called up just as a reliever. I mean, that was my understanding. I could be wrong.
I saw over the weekend that he was in consideration for this next turn in the rotation that was available if he had pitched well. And to this point, he hasn't.
as Scott said, like I haven't really said anything about Spencer Howard. He looked really good. And that changeup looks like it could be a really, really special pitch. He's got like 16 miles per hour of separation between his changeup and fastball, which is one of the factors that has been shown to correlate with changeup effectiveness. And it moves a lot. So I think he can be a very good pitcher.
The last one we'll get to here from KD Johansson. I've been offered a $10 Kyle Tucker for my $3 Brandon Woodruff in a 5x5 dynasty league. I'm getting a little thin on offense. My pitching staff is Strasburg, Lynn, Bueller, Hendricks, Alec Mills, and Tyler Chatwood. Also have Spencer Howard and Yordan Alvarez, so it feels like insurance for Yordan. But at the same time, I'm worried about playing time.
No.
Thoughts?
No, no. You already have a proven high-end player in Woodruff, and he's cheaper.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I think you're overthinking the insurance aspect of having Tucker and Yordan Alvarez together, and there's upside for Tucker, no doubt about it, but Brandon Woodruff is a proven top 25 closer at this point.
Starter.
And Alvarez could be back in a week. He could be back in less than a week.
Right. So let's see what happens. For Scott and Chris, thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today on our YouTube channel. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.